Hi, this is Chris from Adventures in Odyssey. Because portions of today's adventure might be a little too scary for young children, we recommend that children under the age of 10 listen with their parents. Kids, if your parents aren't with you, please get them before you listen.
Imagine what it would be like if you suddenly left the world as you know it and traveled to another world, where you get caught up in a great adventure and also seem to have amazing powers. Hello, this is Dave Arnold, executive producer of Adventures in Odyssey, and I'd like to welcome you to a new kind of story for our series. It's called Darien's Rise and chronicles the first of six exciting novels in our Passages series. In this collection, kids from Odyssey wind up transported to another world and become part of the excitement and intrigue of a kingdom called Maris. Not only do they play pivotal roles as the events unfold, but they take on unusual powers to impact what happens. Interested? Well, then let's get started with Darien's Rise, The Chronicle of the Chosen.
Ooh, it's a mess out there.
Hi, Jack.
Hi.
What in the world are you doing out on a day like this?
Well, I wanted to see you.
Huh?
Yeah, pardon me. Would you like something hot to drink? Ooh, a coffee, please.
Uh-huh.
It's awfully quiet in here. Not a lot of demand for ice cream, I guess.
I think the cold rain has scared everyone away. It's supposed to snow tonight.
Here.
What's that?
Well, it's a manuscript I thought you'd be interested in. I found it in an old trunk I bought from an estate sale.
Here's your coffee.
Thanks, Whit. Did you know the McCutcheons?
Maude McCutcheon? Mm-hmm. Sure, she taught English in middle school for almost 50 years. She's a wonderful woman. I'm sorry to hear that she passed away.
Yeah. Well, her family decided to sell the house and almost everything in it.
Mm.
I went out yesterday to the auction. I bought some of the furniture, a few lamps, end tables, tapestries, and an old trunk they found in her attic.
Mm. And this manuscript was in it?
Mm-hmm. Buried under some old clothes, a few books, and other odds and ends.
Looks like an old school notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice handwriting. Is it Maude McCutcheon's?
I'm not sure. Hers or a student's.
Class assignment, huh? Must be from quite a while ago. Look at the style. Very old-fashioned.
Mm. Turn to the title page.
Let's see. The Chronicle of the Chosen. It's an interesting name. October 3rd, 1958. Did something significant happen on that date?
It depends on what you mean by significant. Just wait till you read it.
You're being cryptic, Jack.
Uh-huh.
Well, all right, I'm intrigued. I'll read it tonight.
Temps are dropping. You be careful of that black ice if you have to drive.
Mm.
And don't forget, Odyssey FM for the latest school closing.
Okay, the Chronicles of the Chosen. Come on, Kyle said to his sister impatiently. I'm going as fast as I can. Well, they have paths in these woods.
Paths? I bet no one's walked through these woods for years. Hurry up!
Will you wait? I'm stuck!
Yeah. There. Come on.
I knew this would happen. I should have stayed at home with Grandma.
Yeah. And get bored stiff holding her yarn for her. Or watching Grandpa mow the lawn. I don't know why Mom and Dad make us come here every summer.
Probably to get a break from all your griping.
I don't gripe that much at home. We have things to do there. But here, it's so boring. It's a good thing Uncle Bill showed up last night, or I would have gone crazy.
You are crazy, and I'm crazy too. Uncle Bill made the whole thing up just to tease us. Nobody really believes there's some mysterious house out here in the middle of the woods.
Magical, he said, not mysterious.
And even if there is a house, it's probably all falling apart and has wild animals in it.
There won't be any wild animals, because wild animals don't like ghosts.
Ghosts?
Uncle Bill said the house belonged to an 18th century pirate. And that his ghost was still there.
Oh, I won't listen to you. What would a pirate be doing all this way from the ocean?
He must have rowed up Darien's Creek and decided to live here because there weren't a lot of people around. It was the perfect hideout.
Grandma said that Darien's Creek dried up so long ago that it's all grown over and nobody can find it anymore.
Uncle Bill knows where it is. Otherwise, couldn't have drawn us this map.
I wish you'd use it and get us there. We've been out here for an hour. I'm getting tired, and I want to go home.
Stop complaining.
We're lost, aren't we?
We're not lost.
I want to go back.
Then go. I don't care.
Then I'll get lost even more, and you'll be in really big trouble.
Huh?
Kyle, look! A house!
What? That's it! See? I told you we'd find it. Come on, let's go! Oh,
wait for me.
The house stood awkwardly in an area so thick with trees that the sunlight couldn't break through. It looked completely out of place. Part of it looked like an English castle, with walls made of large blocks of uncut stone and a tower sticking up from the corner. The porch circled three sides of the house as if it were a belt meant to hold it all together.
This is incredible!
What's it doing way out here? It's like it got lost from all the other houses and died out here. Why would anyone want to build a house in the middle of nowhere?
I told you. The pirate wanted a hideout. See that tower? I'll bet he hung people from there. And they probably had secret meetings in that room at the top.
Ugh, stop talking about pirates.
This is great.
Oh, I don't like it. The windows are all broken and it's falling apart.
It's okay.
Oh, this is gross. It's dirty.
Well, what do you expect? At least it isn't dark.
Only because the roof has holes in it. Let's get out of here, Kyle. I don't like it.
Whoa! Oh, what's that smell?
Ooh, I don't want to know. Are those cobwebs? Kyle?
Wait outside if you want. Ugh. Look how high it goes. Wow, we can probably see for miles from the top. Where's the staircase?
Staircase? You're kidding.
Oh, there it is. I'm going up.
Oh, please don't, Kyle. I'm worried.
Then wait for me to come back.
Wait down here alone? Oh, I'm coming with you. And if this comes crashing down and kills us, you're gonna be in trouble.
Shh! Did you hear that?
What?
I thought I heard somebody talking up there.
You're trying to scare me.
No, I'm not. I mean it. Hey! Is anybody here?
Kyle?
Do you hear that?
Cut it out.
I'm telling you. I hear someone talking. Back this way. Come on, let's check it out.
But I don't hear anything. And if there's somebody here, then maybe we're trespassing.
Shh. That room. At the end of the hall.
Let's get out of here, Kyle. The floor feels wobbly.
Do you hear that?
No.
It sounds like somebody's fighting.
I don't hear anything.
This room.
If somebody's fighting, then we should get help.
Not until I can find out what's going on. How can I see? Ah, keyhole.
Kyle, I'm telling you that this floor is scaring me and you're scaring me.
Anna, you have to look. There are people in there.
You're not funny, and I'm not looking at anything.
It's so weird. They're dressed in old-fashioned clothes, like uniforms from World War I. And the room is full of furniture and paintings and...
What?
This doesn't make any sense. How can there be a room like this in a rundown house? You have to look, Anna. I want to prove to you that I'm not crazy.
Ugh. Okay. This better not be a practical joke. I don't see anything.
You're kidding. Look harder.
How hard can I look? There's nothing in there.
Step aside.
Don't push.
Anna. Anna, whoa!
Kyle!
Just as Anna feared, the floorboards had given way and Kyle had fallen through a large hole. Anna got on her knees and crawled to the edge to look. Couldn't see anything in the black hole except for a swirling cloud of what she thought was dust. She kept watching. The cloud spun around and around, but didn't clear. If Kyle was down there, she couldn't figure out where he was.
Kyle? Kyle, are you all right?
Kyle didn't answer. Certain he was hurt, Anna got to her feet to run to the stairs. The floorboards in front of her also cracked loudly.
The whole floor is gonna cave in,
she thought, and stepped back, pressing herself against the door.
She reached behind her and fell for the doorknob. It opened easily.
What?
Which surprised her, since it was locked when Kyle had tried it a minute ago. She carefully inched backwards into the room, turned on her heels to go further in, and was suddenly engulfed in a bright flash of white light.
To get hurt, General. I want only your medals.
And I want only your head, young pup.
What in the world is going on here?
Kyle thought. One minute he was falling through the floorboards, the next minute he was temporarily blinded, wrapped up in something, a thick velvet cloth. It was a curtain. He unwrapped himself and peeked out to see two men sword fighting in the center of an ornate study. One was silver-haired, with a thick mustache. He wore an impressive royal blue uniform. The other was much younger, with curly dark hair and a slender, clean-shaven face. He was dressed in a loose white shirt and old-fashioned breeches that tucked into his black boots. With quick thrust, the younger man drove the older man across the room until he was trapped against a large white marble fireplace. The younger man grabbed the older man's wrist and banged it against the mantel with such force that the sword fell from his hand. Pressing the point of his sword against the older man's throat, the younger man said,
"And now, your medals, please."
"You dishonor yourself, sir."
"It wouldn't be the first time."
"There. I hope you're satisfied."
Completely. Now, if you'll forgive me. "I am so sorry. And now, Oh, hello, lad. I didn't see you there. Please thank your master for his hospitality."
"Master? He's not my master. I don't even know what I'm doing here."
"You better figure it out soon. I don't think our friends on the other side of the door will take kindly to strangers."
Kyle suddenly felt a sick feeling in his stomach. The kind of feeling he'd never felt before. And he looked up just in time to see the older man back on his feet with a fire poker in his hand. He lunged at the younger man's back.
"Watch out!
I'll kill you!"
The younger man swung around, his sword stabbing the older man in the side.
Blast! I told you I didn't want anyone to get hurt.
"I hope you rot in the land of the dead."
"You saved my life, boy. And I thank you. Now, if you have no specific plans, I suggest you come with me."
"Where?"
"Anywhere but here."
"How will we escape?"
"How else? Through the window. Follow me along the ledge. Okay, don't look down."
Like Kyle, Anna also found herself temporarily blinded. But she wasn't wrapped up in a curtain. She seemed to be in some sort of small space. A closet.
"What happened?"
she wondered. One minute she was staring into a bright white light, and the next she was sitting in thick darkness. It didn't make sense to her. She had seen through the keyhole that the room was a big, empty room, not a closet. Had she fallen along with Kyle and was now unconscious and dreaming? She pushed coats and clothes aside and saw a sliver of light at the bottom of what was certainly a door. She reached for the handle and opened the door just a crack. She heard men's voices. She stopped, afraid of who the men might be. She thought of pirates, ghosts, or dangerous men who had been using the house as a hideout. Peering through the crack between the door and the frame, she was surprised to see a beautiful room with lots of books on shelves and a large wooden desk and tall windows and paintings. It reminded her of a room in her great-grandfather's house. He was the governor of a neighboring state. She wondered if this was what Kyle saw through the keyhole. Still, she was confused and afraid. She stayed still and listened.
"Am I not the king? King Lawrence? Doesn't that mean anything to anyone? And aren't you my successor? Will you not be King George one day? So, What am I to think when the people of my nation talk about one of my generals as if he should be the king instead of me, eh? Answer me that!
You know how people are. They're fickle. Oh. General Darien is everyone's hero now. People talk like that about their heroes.
They once spoke about me that way, and they made me their king! Don't you see it, boy? All Darien has to do is simply hint that he would like to be their king, and we are done for. We'll have a revolution.
Darien wouldn't do that. Darien has no interest in being king. His allegiance is to you, my father. He honors you. Why else would he win so many victories against the Palatians in your name?
Your friendship with him has made you blind. He will betray me and you and our entire succession.
Oh, why worry about our family? With this impending marriage to Princess Michelle, we'll all rule as a family anyway.
Oh, he'll marry Michelle if he fulfills his vow.
That was a ridiculous vow, and I'm sorry you let him go through with it. Imagine letting your best general risk his life to retrieve a few medals.
A few? 100 medals is not a few. It would be an impressive feat if he could do it.
If he can do it without dying in the process. I suppose that's why you dared him the way you did. What could he do but accept your dare?
Darien is a peasant at heart. To marry the daughter of royalty is above his station. He has to do something to prove himself to us. Asking him to retrieve 100 Palatian medals seems reasonable. Is Darien not man enough to handle it?
Darien is a great man, and he will be loyal to you no matter what you do. Unlike others in your army who need closer watching.
Oh? Like who?
Sire.
General Little.
I've received word from the Palatian border that General Darien has successfully returned from his mission and is on his way home to the capital by train. He'll arrive tomorrow.
He'll... What?
This is excellent news. Did he capture the 100 medals?
I can't say.
I'm sure he did. If you'll excuse me, Father, I'd like to make arrangements for a feast to celebrate Darien's return.
As you wish. What will it take to get rid of Darien?
What would you like me to do, my king?
There are things we can discuss.
I'm sure there are. You need only say the word.
Walk with me in the garden for a while.
Anna waited a moment and tried to sort out in her mind everything that had happened. Where was she? Who were these people? How did she get from an abandoned house in the middle of the woods to this fancy room? It was a dream, she decided. And the best way to the real world was to get out of this closet and out of this house. She gently pushed the door open, peeked around to be sure she was alone, and tiptoed across the room. She slowly opened the door and stuck her head in the hall, and then...
Just as I suspected. You see, my king, a spy.
No!
However did you see her in the closet, General?
Let go! I'm not a spy!
And what are these clothes? Why are you disguised as a boy?
I am not disguised as a boy. These are my clothes. You have to help me. I'm lost.
Lost? In the king's palace? How is that possible?
I don't know. I was visiting my grandparents in Odyssey, and my brother and I went out to an old house in the woods, and he fell through the floorboards. And then there was this white, bright light, and then I was in your closet. I know it sounds crazy, but you have to believe me.
Let's put her to death.
I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know how I got here.
What's your pleasure, sire?
Well, she seems healthy enough. Give it to Titus. He'll know what to do.
Come along, spy.
No!
The man called Titus, to whom General Little had dragged Anna, was in fact a slave seller who had locked her up until the slave merchants were to meet in the marketplace the next morning. The morning came. He tied her wrists with a thick rope and led her away from the palace like a dog on a leash. They weave their way down litter-strewn alleys and passages until they emerged in a large market area. At the edge, Titus untied Anna, but instantly grabbed her arm in his big hand.
You'll behave or suffer the consequences.
Where are we? What are you going to do with me?
Sell you to the highest bidder, with any luck at all.
No! Please, I'm not a slave.
Maybe not now, but you will be.